As we continue, you see this, we're now in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, and we have this distinction between John's baptism and the Lord's baptism. And when they received this, the Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. There were about 12 men in that group. So you see, we're learning more and more that the church is led, animated by the Holy Spirit. And as we prepare for this feast day, you see, the Lord would like us to become more and more alert to the work of the Holy Spirit. How many people are making the novena to the Holy Spirit? That's great. Well, you can always start. Even if you miss a couple days, you can still do it, you know. It's not for ourselves alone that we pray that. We pray it for the whole church. And when you think of the church, think of Nigeria, think of the Middle East, think of Egypt, think of every city in this country, and how desperately we need the Lord, and we need people to come and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel, you see, the disciples are getting the picture. Oh, no, we got it. We understand. We're fine. And he says, really, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone. The Father is with me. I've told you this so that you might have peace in me. What did he tell them? He told them, you're going to betray me. You're going to run away. And then they're going to say, oh my gosh, what have we done? We're finished. And that's why the Lord said, no, I prophesied this. I knew it was going to happen. And you come back to me and you'll be all right. And that's what they did. And then they waited for the Holy Spirit. You see? In the world you will have trouble. But take courage. I have conquered the world. See, the world is all that conflux of forces. They're in economic, military, emotional, the forces that drive this world. And the Lord is saying, I have overcome all that, and you can overcome all that. You don't have to live dominated by that. You can dominate, you can be animated by my Holy Spirit. And that's what we're praying for. Now, it's difficult. And if we don't make sure that we have time every day to stop and think, what's it? I had a friend, Bishop Shoraya, and he used to say, when I go to pray, I keep asking, what's all about? What's all about? He was the bishop of Haifa, over in Israel. Remarkably courageous man. And the Jews, after he died, the Jews have been proposing him for the Nobel Peace Prize. He was just one of those people who was so devoted to peace. You see, he was not. When he was first elected, he went down, any in that type of the world, you know, like a bishop is like automatically a part of the Knesset, the parliament. He doesn't vote exactly. So Golda Meir was talking, and when she finished, he got up and said, Madam Prime Minister, we need you for peace. There's been enough blood spilt in this country, and he went on like that. From the back of the Knesset. And she was so moved, she came down off the dais and went down and hugged him. You see? So he was doing, I have conquered the world. You see? Words of peace, words of love, with a willingness to back them up, can create that kind of a change. It's still going on, as you know. But there are always heroes that people look up to, people of peace. And that's what we have to be. We have to be. Now today, some of us will go out to the clinic to pray, to try to bring peace to those children so they don't die, to their mothers, and even to Carhartt. Can you imagine what a life he has? Traveling around, aborting babies, making money. Can you imagine his conscience? And so we should pray for him. Resist him too, I'm not saying, but pray for him. Because he's a stranger to God. And he has to get to know him. And so, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be out there and trying to help those women understand the consequences of what they do. But we're also there for the purpose of bringing Carhartt to a conversion, if that's all possible.